It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Twin Peaks off 290, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, The Drive is live up off Twin Peaks, 290. Come on, hang out with us. It is a Football Friday. Big shout out to Tomball Ford, all the Houston area Ford dealers, but in particularly Tomball Ford and Academy Sports and Outdoors for making it happen. Sean Bajani is in for Ron Hughley. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Come on through and let's get prepared for the next round of college football playoffs, and even sooner than that, this big game that the Texans have on Sunday. We'll be chopping it all up. Speaking of college football, that's where I want to land right now. Monster, couple of days in the college football playoffs, where New Year's Eve, Miami stunned Ohio State 24-14. Oregon shut out Texas Tech 23-0 on New Year's Day. Indiana skull drags Bama 38-3. Ole Miss shocks Georgia last night 39-34 in an absolute shootout. And look, I think there's several storylines with what's going on in college football right now. I think it's the parity, if you will, in college football is in a place where it's absolutely never been. I just think the opportunity for universities that are middle-of-the-pack universities, if you will. I came from one of them. You're looking at the Arkansas, the Kentuckys, the U of H's, if you will, of the world. There's 90% of the universities out there. If you're not viewing the NIL and the transfer portal as a positive, as an opportunity for you to take the next step and close the gap and potentially do what Texas Tech or Indiana has done, then you're missing a huge opportunity, and your ass needs to be replaced if we're being completely honest. I mean, I've been saying this for 2 years now. I thought this all started, in my opinion, with COVID-19. I do a lot of stuff with the SEC and the University of Arkansas in particular. COVID-19, sixth-year players. Everybody's bitching and moaning about the sixth year, and everybody's complaining about how you got there. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter. Arkansas has the ability to have players that they've tried to develop for. You typically don't get the players that are developed when you get them as the other schools do. Now right. You've got an additional year. Now the transfer portal is here. You can bring guys in that have been developed in college for 5 or 6 years. I think the tip of the spear, kind of a small piece of it. This NIL and transfer portal has changed the game. And I know that most universities, if they embrace it the right way, they can at least give themselves a chance to do what Indiana and
ones that are willing to spend the money too.
Yeah, well, yeah. You got to spend money. You got to think outside the box. You got to hire the right guy. But here's the deal. Indiana is showing everybody the blueprint, right? And here's what Indiana's done. This year they're 14-0. The last two seasons, which are the first two seasons for Cignetti to be there, Kurt Cignetti, 25-2. They've won a Big Ten championship where they toe-to-toe and won against Ohio State, right? They just beat Bama by 35 in the Rose Bowl. They've outcoached and outplayed OSU and Bama in back-to-back weeks, and they're two wins from a national title championship. And by the way, that is what was believed to be one of the very worst college football programs in America when they hired Kurt Cignetti, right? No disrespect to Antoine Randall, but that's a player I got. Wasn't he IU guy?
I believe so.
That's the one guy I got. By the way, Kurt Cignetti, the head coach, he secured a $700,000 bonus with this last win, and he's made just under, I believe, $1.9 million in incentives with the Big Ten championship and the getting to the semifinals in the college football playoffs. And I don't know if y'all have heard this story, but I think this story is really fascinating, because this isn't just about a good coach and he kind of captured lightning in a bottle, right? This all stemmed from a lady named Pamela Whitten, I believe. I don't know how my – must have self-corrected right there when
is
I –
Is it Whittingham?
No, it's not. That's what I'm saying. It must have self-corrected. It's Pamela Whitten. Whitten, and she was at Georgia a few years back, right? And so she saw what having a winning, a championship-caliber football program could do for a university.
Sure.
So you fast forward, she made a stop between Georgia and Indiana somewhere else for a year or two, I guess, but then she ended up at Indiana. And she's kind of the one that spearheaded the thought of like, hey, man, we got to hire the right guy. We got to give him the give him the money. We got to create some some revenue, right?
Yeah.
So she hires Kurt Cignetti. By the way, obviously a really good coach, but a coach that also, in a transfer portal era, had the ability to bring from a winning program 13 players with him immediately to shorten, if you will, the learning curve of getting his system implemented, getting his culture to take part, right? So she gave him, hired him, gave him the money to bring 13 of his players with him and whatever other pieces that he needed to bring in. So they gave him the money to be relevant, right? And then this is where I was listening to Pat McAfee this morning. This is where the story gets real interesting. She thinks outside the box to create revenue to raise money to make all this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that, I had no idea this was going on, but apparently Indiana – now, these are obviously, I would imagine, like golf tournament, like PGA Tour type tents. These aren't like tents like you and I tailgate under. I would imagine right. It's like PGA Tour type tents.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently they lined the sidelines with those at IU and sold them as field-level suites to help generate revenue to make all of this happen.
Hell of an idea. If you can do it, yeah.
Yes. I mean, just think about how, I mean, you've got to, I mean, we at Arkansas, we got a damn AD that's up there talking about my life is miserable because of transfer portal and NIL. And on the other hand, you got people like this that are out there making, I mean, just thinking outside the box and making it happen.
That's kind of life, right? And you can apply what's going on in the NCAA with a lot of other, you know, companies in this country, and that you're going to go kicking and screaming, punching and crying and whining about how you don't agree with what's going on in terms of the NIL, or are you going to activate that portion of your brain that allows you to be innovative and be able to, like, curb some of the stuff and have it work to your advantage? Like, shout out to, you know, that woman at Indiana that is really trying to think outside of the box and is tired of status quo, you know, forever at Indiana. As you'd mentioned, it's one of the worst college football programs, has been forever. Well, we're tired of that. How about if we have an opportunity to get a guy that has seen a lot of football, been a widely regarded assistant for, what, nearly 30 years? He'd been an assistant, coached under Nick Saban, and, you know, by the way, it's in his blood. His dad's a college football Hall of Famer. You kidding me? Like, let's tap into what this guy can really do well. Maybe we've got something here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, there ain't no maybe they got something. They got something. But by the way, just to make sure that he doesn't go anywhere, there's triggers. You know that new contract, because he's a Pennsylvania guy, that new contract that they put in place when he decided not to go to Penn State, not even entertain Penn State, and they extended him. They also put what they're calling good faith market review triggers in his contract,
okay. So
that if he does what he's doing right now, the clause is going to trigger and allow them to renegotiate to where he will be a no less than a top three highest paid coach in America. So you're doing things to reward, obviously, success so that you can keep this thing rolling. I think when you look at the landscape of college football, you got people that sit around and bitch about how bad it is and players shouldn't get this, coaches shouldn't be able to leave, the transfer portal, NIL, all that kind of stuff. And that's fine for us to do as fans. Look, I've done my fair share. I don't care about the players leaving. Like, I've never been a guy that watches my team, and I'm just in love. I know this quarterback's going to be here for a year or two, and he's going to leave, whether it's because he plays well and he goes to the NFL draft, or he's mad and he transfers, or we replace him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to happen. There's going to be turnover. I don't care about the player's perspective, but it's just like you got a lot of people in that business that sit around and bitch and complain about the changing of the landscape. Meanwhile, you've got a couple of programs, again, Indiana, obviously, and Texas Tech doing the same thing up the street. And look what they're doing. They're winning on the biggest stage. And again, the opportunity's there. We've landed in a place where the final four teams, Miami's the only one that's won a title. The other three have never won a title before. So we may get a first-time national champion here in the next few weeks as we watch this thing unfold. I want Arkansas. And I know a lot of people out here listening, they want U of H, or you want your program. I want them to do two things. I want you to go get a quarterback that I don't give a damn what his skill set is. Obviously, I want him to be able to play. but I want him to be a leader of men. Like, I want him to be pissed off when stuff ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to be a yes man. I don't want him to be cool, calm, collected all the damn time. I want him to be passionate about winning and losing. I want him to hate losing more than he likes winning. I want him to be smart and be able to play the game at a high level.
Sure.
I want that, and then I want my program to at least act like they can embrace the transfer portal and NIL.
Well, absolutely. Right?
And that to me, there's 95% of college football programs, power fours, that's all you can ask for, right? Be able to identify and pay a damn quarterback. If you're not paying a quarterback in today's game, you're not serious about winning, because they're always available.
Sure.
By the way, the number one quarterback on the market right now, Cincinnati's quarterback Brendan Sorsby. Guess who? As I'm making this point, guess who he's visiting?
Who?
Take a wild guess. Texas Tech and Indiana. It's coming down to those two schools to where he's going to come to next. He's the number one quarterback in the transfer portal. So,
well, Indiana might have a Heisman winner. They might have a guy that is a top three pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
So if they're willing to spend what's market now for a college quarterback, like $5-6 million, it's risen to. If they're willing to spend that money, they're probably going to go get that guy, so long as Kurt Cignetti believes he is the guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, they've proven they will spend the money. And if you look at Texas Tech, this has got to be something that Texas Tech looks at. And I mean, you got to get in a damn bidding war if you have to, right? I mean, because you look at how their quarterback played, and I don't want to take shots. But look, it's a college football playoff scenario, and the kid took his team to the Elite Eight. So I'm not going to sit here and crush the kid, but it was not a good night at the office. Good day at the office for the kid up at Texas Tech.
Do you think Texas Tech is just missing the star quarterback? Like, is that
I think to
play with the big dogs?
To me, after, and I haven't watched a ton of Texas Tech, so all my Red Raider fans out there, excuse me, but to me, watching that game in a vacuum, watching the Red Raiders game, it looked to me like clearly the quarterback wasn't on the level to win college football playoff games.
Yeah.
And number two, it doesn't look like they have the pieces around the quarterback, the pass catchers around the quarterback to win at that level. Like,
yeah.
I thought what's the kid's name? The running back. I watched that game multiple times, and I felt like they were wasting snaps handing the football to number five or what, the single digit running back that they had. They had the Williams kid, that 20, that was really good. He was shifty.
Jacoby Williams?
Yeah, he was shifty, man. He's a guy that looked like he belonged on the field in the college football playoffs, and it looked like every time they handed it to the other kid, he was heavy-footed, wasn't handling pass protections very well. He was shying away from the contact a lot of the times, and they kept handing the football to him or kept leaving him in the game. So I think they're a couple of players away.
Cameron Dickey, I think.
There you go, Dick. That's exactly who it is. I think they're a couple of players away from being having the dudes to go in there and win three or four straight playoff games. Hell of a run by Texas Tech, no doubt about it. The trajectory is it's steep as hell. It's through the roof. They're going the right direction. I love seeing Texas programs win, especially one that's not already like the Texas and the Texas A&M that are already kind of in that and expected to be in that conversation. I love to see U of H coming with how many wins they had, beating LSU at the end, and Texas Tech being in the college football
playoff. They got 10, sir. They got 10.
Yeah, man.
First time in a little while.
Yeah, there you go. I love seeing all that, man. So I'm rooting for them. But I think Texas Tech is just a couple of players away. So I'm Clint Sterner alongside Sean Bajani. We are at Twin Peaks off 290. It is a football Friday, and we've got a Texans game Sunday I'm afraid. And look, there's no right answer here. There's no right answer here. But I'm afraid that there's some folks out there that may be a little bit more comfortable than I am.
I'm raising my hand.
I think you may be
raising my hand.
You may be one of Andy.
The Indianapolis
Weatherman Andy,
are
you comfortable?
Ass.
Well, yeah, no, they're. I mean, I don't doubt that. Now, I don't doubt that the Colts are ass. I mean, they are rough. But
ass.
Where are you at?
Thank you, Colin.
As a fan, where are you at? Right. Simple question. How comfortable are you with the Texans right now? Where do you stand going into this football? I'm not talking about a playoff. How good's the defense? And do you like D'Amico Ryans? I ain't talking about that crap. I'm talking about you're going into a game where you could potentially win the division. Probably gonna be the five seed. Probably gonna have to go to Baltimore or Pittsburgh in this particular game, how do you address the game? How comfortable are you with the Texans and how they address this particular